Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we're in Mark chapter 10. As we think about this chapter, what's going on? The cross is drawing closer and closer for our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem. It's interesting when you take a look at this section here, we see Jesus, he's leading the way almost as if he is anxious to get to Jerusalem. His disciples are following and they are afraid. Then Jesus said these words to his disciples, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him and scourge him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise again." Even though Jesus, being the very Son of God, he very well knew the horror that awaited him in Jerusalem, he gladly went to do the Father's will. He gladly went to do what was necessary in order to take away our sins and open the way to heaven for each and every one of us. May this sermon today, may the Holy Spirit be at work to grow our thankfulness for what Jesus did for us, and also to give us more of a heart in order to serve others. According to our greatest need, Jesus served us. Let's pay attention to others. Let's see what their needs are, and let's take action according to those needs. So what do you think? Does Jesus owe us something? That seems to be the thought here as we get further into our text, picking up in verse 35. The Bible says, "James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' They said to him, 'Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory.'" It's kind of an odd question to ask of Jesus, isn't it? Maybe they thought about it like this and said, certainly someone is going to have those positions. Hey, let's ask real quick so we can get them before someone else does. I don't know. But what they were trying to do, though, it seems to me, is they were trying to lift themselves up to a high position. They were trying to exalt themselves. But yet, what does the Bible say? What did Jesus himself say? He said, we are to humble ourselves, and God will exalt us when the time is right. I want to talk for a moment here about the topic of serving and then about the topic of rewards, because they do fit in right here. So in Luke chapter 17, Jesus told his disciples that a slave does what he is commanded. And why does he do that? He does that because he is a slave. And then Jesus said these words to his disciples, "So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" God has brought us into this relationship with himself and with our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made the statement in Luke 6, he said, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" He's trying to indicate that when he is our Lord, then we have this relationship with him. He is Lord and Master. We are servant or maybe even slave. And therefore, because of the relationship, it's only right that we look to him and we do what he says. We shouldn't do it thinking that he owes us something. He doesn't owe us something. But we have so much because of the relationship. However, though, let me mention about rewards here for a moment. I want to read a passage from Mark chapter 10, so this would be a little bit earlier in the chapter than the text we're looking at today. Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Everyone who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, will receive 100 times as much in the present age and in the age to come, eternal life. So think about it like this. Jesus really owes us nothing. However, though, from our relationship with him, we really truly have everything. So don't think we're owed something, but let's rejoice. We have so very much through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on here. There's a little bit of some unusual words here in the text, and I want to talk about them and try to help us understand them a little bit better. Picking up in verse 38, the Bible says, "But Jesus said to them," talking here to James and John, "Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?'" It's an unusual way to state something that's really pretty simple. When Jesus talks about drinking or about being baptized, he's talking about his suffering. But there is something, though, we should think about with these two words. With the word drink, that's in the active tense, and that's something that we do. If there was a glass of water here, I could take it, I could put it to my mouth, and I could drink it. So it's something I do. When it comes to being baptized, that's something that someone else does to us. So when we think about what Jesus did for us in taking away our sins, he was active, so that would be the drink part. He was active in following the will of God the Father. However, though, with the baptized part, something was done to him. What was done to him, God the Father gathered up the sins of the world and put them on Jesus. And then God the Father took his wrath toward our sins and poured that wrath out on Jesus. So I hope you can understand a little bit better with the drink being actively what Jesus did and the baptized being what was done to him by God the Father to take care of our sins. And then going further here, who is it that determines our positions in glory? James and John responded back to Jesus and said, "We are able to drink the cup you drink and to be baptized with the baptism with which you are baptized." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." So thinking here about James and John, their desire to serve was really very commendable. In a sense, they were saying, "Jesus, we're willing to do whatever in order to get important positions in your kingdom." Should we have a similar kind of a desire to say, "Jesus, I want to do whatever to honor you and to thank you in the greatest ways that I can"? That would be a great desire for each of us to have in our hearts. However, though, for James and John, I think they had a lot more to learn about humility, and maybe we do as well. Well, I want to mention something here about a difference that we want to pick up on. So when it came to the idea of drink and being baptized, Jesus, he did that for us. And he said, James and John, they would do the same. But there's an important difference. When Jesus did his drinking and being baptized, he took away our sins. For James and John, when they did their drinking and they were baptized, what were they doing? They were not taking away any sins. They were not even taking away their own sins. They were confessing the fact that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord and their Master. So God wants us to willingly seek and know and do his will and realize that it might not be easy, but we have great, great benefits now and forever through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, what about exalting ourselves? Should we do it? No, the Bible is clear. We have one job, and our job is to humble ourselves. God has another job, and that is to exalt us. That is to lift us up. That's coming in eternity. That's not coming in this life. We are lowly here, but one day God's going to raise us all up to a position that is way beyond where we should be. We should always be lowly. We should always be nothing. And yet God is going to be so good to us, he's going to put us in an exalted position in eternity. And then, what about God's plan? With James and John, they were trying to take things into their own hands and saying, we want position one and position two. Should we do that? No. God has a perfect plan. For each one of us, God has a perfect plan. So let's remember God loves us. Let's rejoice that God has brought us into his family through the finished work of Jesus. Let's know that God has a plan for each of us now. During this life on earth, he wants us to seek it out, to know it, and to do it. And let's also know God has an awesome plan for us when we are with him in eternity. God has it all figured out. We don't have to scheme or try to work anything out. God's got it all in his hands. It's all going to be wonderful. And then Jesus talked to his disciples here about how as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should be different than the world. The Bible says, hearing this, the ten, in other words, the other disciples, began to feel indignant. They began to become angry with James and John. So Jesus right away took action, calling them to himself. Now he's talking to all 12. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. So it was wrong for James and John to ask what they did. It was also wrong for the other ones to get angry about what James and John were doing. Let me summarize here what Jesus was saying regarding the Romans and then compare that to the Christians. So with the Romans, how did they maintain their positions? They were very heavy-handed in keeping the people under control. Even think about crucifixion itself. It wasn't just Jesus who was crucified. That was a very common practice among the Romans. What were they doing? They were setting the crosses way up high on a hill. And every time they crucified someone, everyone could see up on the hill that someone was nailed to a cross. And they were basically saying, you guys better behave yourselves or we're going to put you up on a cross too. So it was a great method of intimidation. That's how they kept their power. Well, as I think about our nation today, and I think about some of our politicians, hopefully not too many, but I'm afraid it probably is a large number, but they should be public servants, and yet it seems that they're more trying to rule with intimidation, trying to maintain their positions and trying to keep us in our place. That is not how our nation was set up, but it seems it has become that way in many respects. What about us as Christians? We are to be the opposite of the Romans. When I think about our own nation, I think it was established probably on principles like we're talking about right here in Mark chapter 10, that those who were elected to certain positions, that they would be public servants and that they would be great by serving. Isn't that what Jesus said? Want to be great? What did he say? Serve others. Want to be the greatest? Then become the slave of all. When our nation functioned like that, and those in very high positions understood that they were in a privileged position in order to serve the people, when they understood that, wow, I think our nation functioned pretty good. But things have become turned upside down. Now our nation is functioning more like the Romans. not the way it was intended, and for most of us, I think we would agree, not a good situation. I want to share an interesting quote here from Lenski. I thought it was a good one. He wrote, "The great man does not sit atop the lesser man. The great man does not sit atop the lesser man." That's how the Romans were set up. Again, that's kind of how our nation seems to be structured today. But rather, the great man bears the lesser men on his back. That is how it should be. That is pleasing to God. That is pleasing to God in his kingdom. And I think that would make better for our nation if we were more in that direction. Let's pray that God would move us in that way. Finally, coming to the end of our text here, we come to Jesus serving us. The final verse of our text today, verse 45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." You know, you would think the very Son of God, he is the one through whom God created the world. You think he would come and everyone would be serving him, and yet he comes to serve us in the greatest way. So he put on flesh, and it was really excruciating what he had to do. And when we think about the cross, it's even hard maybe to look at this symbol of what Jesus did. But imagine being there and seeing the very Son of God nailed to that cross and the agony he was in and the blood that was coming from his wounds. It's hard to even understand. It would be so horrible to see a man on a cross, and especially the very Son of God. But what does God want us to conclude from that? Our sins are so horrible, our sins are so powerful to condemn us, that there had to be something so horrible for the Son of God to do in order to overcome the horror of our sins. But isn't it so amazing, though, that God's love is greater than our sins? And God's love is so great that he did send his Son. And Jesus' love is so great that he went all the way to the end in order to take away our sins and to open heaven for us. Let me conclude like this today, a truth that we could take from today's sermon. Jesus owes us nothing, but he gives us everything. So let's not go through life thinking we are owed something, but let us rather rejoice that we have so very much now and forever in our Lord Jesus Christ. Something that's relevant for today, what is our part? Our part as we live as Christians is to know and follow the will of God. What is God's part? Well, God has many, many parts. But let's know, though, that when the time comes in eternity, God is going to give us a high position. God is going to exalt us. God is going to glorify us. And we are going to be so super happy forever and ever. We have so much to look forward to in Jesus. And then just a little bit of inspiration. So think about how Jesus, he is the very, very highest. And yet what he did on the cross, we could say, is the very, very lowest. So the highest one stooped all the way to the lowest position in order to pick us up and take us up in eternity to a very high position. Wow, we are so very blessed. So what should that do for us? That should motivate us to say, because Jesus served me so very much, isn't it only right that I would pay more attention to others and try to model the work of my Savior by serving them with my life here until I am finally with God forever and ever? Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as you so focused on the Father's will and everything turned out great, you weren't concerned about all the details. You simply did that will. Help us to do the same. Help us to dig into the Bible. Help us to understand what it means. Help us to put it into practice. Help us to see people in need. Help us to take action according to those needs. And help us to know that there is an awesome eternity awaiting all who continue to trust in you as Savior and Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen.